Welcome to the Think Kingdom Church podcast. It's Marcus Looney, the creative arts director over here at Think Kingdom Church. We're beginning a new series entitled Mixtape. With the week one kickoff, here's lead pastor Antoine Lassiter. Let's see what God has for us.
And let me send my apologies if this is your first Sunday. I'm back. We're going to talk about money.
Dang it!
How are we going to talk about money, Pastor? We're going to talk about money. This is the opening of our series, Mixtape. God has uniquely positioned this church to be a blessing to the community. And I'm going to share with you what God is going to do with a handful of folks. Because he is determined to get all the credit, to get all the glory.
Yes. Yes.
And anytime you look at a mountain that's bigger than yourself, you need help to traverse that mountain. And see, money is like a third rail when it comes to church. Either you feel like you don't have enough, you want to keep the little that you have, or you don't want to talk about it. So full disclosure, I'm going to need some grace. Because pastors in general feel weird talking about money. Because sometimes pastors, ourselves, we struggle with it. And we benefit from tithes and offering. So part of your salary is connected to your giving. So in talking about money, it comes off as self-serving. Of course you want me to give. So we're going to have to navigate it together. Because it's difficult, because the uneasiness can be, as pastors, is that we become more concerned with what you think than what God thinks. So in scripture, God talks about money.
Yes.
And so if we don't go there, then it's because I don't want anyone, and I struggle with it even now, I don't want anyone to think that it's all about money, because it isn't. But we have to talk about money because God did, and money doesn't come with instructions. You just have it. And so we have to share a biblical view of money because many of us are navigating this area without a true north, and the results can be crippled. So here's the reality. You and I interact with money almost daily. See? Nobody said nothing. We talk about it daily.
Yeah.
And for some of us, we struggle with it daily. Money is an extension of our lives. Yeah. In marriages, money is cited as one of the top reasons families are either in crisis or families about to break up.
Yeah.
And if we don't help you figure out how to handle it, who will? See, there aren't just needs in the church, but you have needs. So we need to learn to live on mission while living within margins.
Amen.
Simply put, God is calling us to the mission field, but it would take resources to do it. And those resources are time, talent, and treasures.
Yeah.
And so money can be an idol that constantly needs tearing down. Money doesn't feel stress. You can beat it, you can stab it, you can set it on fire, and money don't care.
Amen.
But there's so many emotions attached to money that if I was going to get a $100 bill, but I didn't want to be attacked. I was literally going to beat, tear up, all that. Yeah, exactly. See? There's emotions connected to money, but money itself doesn't feel a thing. The ultimate goal for a believer is generosity. It's not about the money, but the heart that God wants us to have. And without a healthy relationship with money, it's hard to be generous. And the vision that God has given us in this church will require resources. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. You're going to read it. When you have it, if it's on the screen, say amen. There it goes. If you see in a province the opposition, the oppression of the poor, and the violation of justice and righteousness, do not be amazed at the matter, for the high official is watched by a higher, and there are yet higher ones over them. But this is a gain for land in every way, a king committed to cultivating fields. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity or useless. It's useless making your life's goal all about money. Money is simply a tool. Why does they keep doing this? For those who are praying for more money and believe that having more money will satisfy you, please listen to this warning. It won't. Money will not satisfy you. It will not. Turn me up, please. It will not satisfy you. Money will not satisfy you. Money is addictive and unsatisfactory. You can never be satisfied with temporary things.
Amen.
But we spend the majority of our life trying to get those things. Money can be a house of cards. How much you have can change overnight. I took my hard-earned $60 and bought some stock. Man, I doubled my money. And I was happy. I made $120. Went to sleep, woke up, checked about 10 o'clock. I owe them $30. It's a house of cards. Money is not meant to be a lake. It's meant to be a river. God flows through us. And what I have belongs to God. Very important. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I don't know if it's the batteries. I don't know what it is. But we got to get this fixed because it's distracting me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So let me just jump through verse number 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If money isn't managed, money will become your master. And many of us, myself included, can't stay focused on the mission because of the money issues in front of us. And if we don't prioritize the things of God, then we will be so off mission, not because the enemy is fighting us, not because we're off task. We're going to be, because our attention will be diverted, and we must prioritize God in every area of our life, including but not limited to our finances.
Amen.
Because it's not about money, it's about generosity.
Yeah.
Money is one of the ways to reflect where our priorities lie. What we treasure, maybe I should just do this. And then it'll be all good. I'm just gonna do this. It feels awkward. Lord have mercy. It's not about money, it's about generosity. Money is one of the ways to reflect our priorities. But can I just be honest? Say, be honest, Pastor.
Be honest, Pastor.
It's hard to talk about money when you feel like you don't have it.
Yeah. Talking good.
What we have is sufficiency when we give it to God.
Yes.
And that, my friends, is the problem, because do we really believe that?
Yeah.
My mom used to cook a dish called goulash. and she would take this, Katie, you'll love this. She would take this huge pot, remember this, Tiffany? She'd take this huge pot, about that big. She would put some of everything in it. Hamburger, green peppers, tomato sauce, and only God knows what else. And her point with making that, this should last y'all all week. So she will cook it, and I don't know about Tiffany, but she will cook it. And when she first cooked it, it's like, then around about Monday or Tuesday, you warm it up in the microwave, and it's around about Thursday, I don't want that no more. And we had to learn to live off leftovers. And sometimes the problem is that we become upset with the leftovers. But it's the leftovers that he wants us to live off of, because he's the source. And when we don't see him as the source, we think it's all on us. But God is never late on his child support. But let me just show you something. The scripture says, the God of abundance, he's the God of abundance and not scarcity. But here's why I have to take this time and apologize on behalf of some of my colleagues in the ministry. The reason why we preach prosperity is because we're trying to find ways for you and I to believe God, knowing that if we have a heart to just give to get, we disqualify. I don't give to my wife that I do. I should not give to my wife to get back. I should give to my wife because I love her. So what type of relationship will we have with God? I did this, now you do this.
That's good. That's good.
He doesn't owe us. The relationship with money plays out in all of us, despite our social economic status. But in Ecclesiastes, he points out, the writer points out, that economic oppression is real. Let's flip back. He literally says that if you see in a province, a government, the oppression of the poor and the violation of justice and righteousness, don't be surprised. The poor have always been taken advantage of. So, back in the day, I think we just had Justin, and I was a horrible money manager. I got involved with a Pele loan. Them jokers. Katie, Carly, Justin, Chris, and all you young folks. I borrowed $250 to make it to my next paycheck. Makes sense. By the time I paid that thing off, I was like $1,500 in. I didn't have it in the beginning. So I put myself in a position where every paycheck they take your money, but now I'm $250 plus the interest short every week. Economic oppression is real. Scripture says, owe no man nothing but love. Why do we want to get out of debt? Yes, it's freedom, but freedom from or freedom to do. Because even getting out of debt centers around us and not the kingdom. I want to be free from the tyranny of bills, like I were the tyranny of bills. I was really in the spirit when I wrote that. The tyranny of bills to do God's will. But do we want to be free to do God's will or ours? Because if the first thing to do, or we think about when we talk about getting out of debt, if the first thing that pops in our mind is traveling, it's all about you. We want to get out of debt so that we can stay on mission We live within the margins. In other words, I don't spend more than what I have.
Amen.
I live within margins because if the Lord says, Lassiter's, I need for y'all to go and plant in Hawaii.
Yes.
Going. The problem, though, if we're not living within margins, we got a word from God and can't go. The rich rule over the poor. And the borrower is slave to the lender. We are supposed to be slaves to Jesus Christ. But some of us are slaves to Chase Morgan. PNC. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Stewardship is more than just money. More than just money. Here's the three things that we're going to talk about real quick. Number one, identity determines investment. Psalms 24:1, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. First realization that we have to realize as kingdom citizens that we belong to God.
Amen.
Everything I have belongs to God. Kids, everything you have belongs to God. Grown-ups, everything you have belongs to God. Not limited to, but including your money, your relationship, your schooling, your education, all those things belong to God. If you do not have a healthy realization that even the greed that I choose must glorify God, even the steps that I take must glorify God, then you and I will continue to blow in the wind with every wind and doctrine, whatever good idea, and never stay on purpose, not just with our money, but with our lives, because we forget who we are. Everything belongs to the Lord, but it's an inherent belief that what we have is ours and not the Lord's. Because understanding the purpose of my life determines my view of money. We must transition from living reactively to living proactively. So we must invest in the kingdom of God to advance his kingdom. It boils down to who you believe you are. Second point, consumers take, contributors give. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. It wasn't legislated. It wasn't beaten. The church, the early church, was like a family. So a family, think about this, a family is where every person contributes. We even teach toddlers, or we should, teach toddlers to pick up after themselves. Mm-hmm. Clean up, clean up, everybody clean. We teach them to contribute even when they're babies. That's the church. The church isn't like family. The church is family. So they share together. So if there's a need in family, family takes care of family, and everybody contributes.
Amen. Amen.
Across the lines, despite how much money we have, generally speaking, people in their 20s, 30s, and early 40s are more likely to compare themselves to others and find themselves wanting more. So no one does this anymore. So I'm doing this. And I see what so-and-so have. And my inherent nature is to want that, despite what I have. Because we have this consumer mentality. Second thing is willful offering or reluctant obligation. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And giving reluctantly, or not giving reluctantly, or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. The challenge is, listen, I wrote the book on it. I'm the author, the reader, the writer of pressuring people in a former life to give. That's not what God wants. I'm going to cook for you, Antoine, but I don't want to. We good. Because the heart is what God's after. And so he doesn't want, see, here's, despite my shirt, we can't legislate morality and we can't legislate generosity. That is a matter of the heart. So, your master determines your mission. I'm a Selah of that. Because he said you can't serve two masters. But your master determines your mission. And so if you are not, if you don't have a spirit of generosity, if you don't have a heart of generosity, and again, this is prescriptive. And so what I'm moving to is where I'm trying to go later on in the message. And I got about three more minutes. And it's all going to make sense. Generosity is a sign of a regenerate soul. Yeah. Proverbs 11 and 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Here's the problem with how we read scripture. When we read that scripture, the first thing we think of is God's going to give me money. Money does not make you rich. Money does not make you rich. I don't have time to dive deeper, but read Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Read that entire chapter. Because the ones who are rich are, man, just read it. And then text me, and we can walk through it together. The good news is supposed to open our hearts and hands. Loving God with our whole heart, mind, body, and soul. And loving our neighbors. We give knowing that the Lord will provide.
Yes.
The passage makes it clear that giving is an act of faith. And we give knowing that he would provide. What makes giving generosity, what makes you rich, let me back up and say this in reference to that scripture. Why do we continually minimize the blessings of God through material things?
That's
good. Yeah. So we think rich, and the first thing we think is extra zeros in our bank account. Yeah. And that's a temporary expression of an eternal God. Promises to promote prosperity has become a dangling carrot and is put before us. And many of us have the experience is when we gave.
Yeah.
And we were still broke.
Still broke.
Come on. So you know how you get out of it, Tiffany? You give some more. You just keep giving some more. And I realized that the only reason I was giving is to get. Because I had to prove to you that I was blessed.
Come on now.
So how do you know I'm blessed? I got stuff.
Yeah.
So we're putting on these clean clothes with dirty souls. But God is going to get this church free.
Such a powerful message by lead pastor Antoine Lassiter about money. Again, this series is entitled Mixtape. If you'd like to give to Think Kingdom, please text GIVE to 704-741-3705. Please tune in next week for week 2 right here on the Think Kingdom Church podcast.